Good morning, and welcome to our Friends Day here at Babcock Road Christian Church. In honor of Friends Sunday Day, I'd like to measure our friend knowledge this morning. So I'm going to do something out of the ordinary, and I'm going to ask you to actually say something, okay? So I'm going to mention the first person, and I want you to tell me the second person that goes with. For example, Batman and Robin. That's easy. Okay, here's the next one. Bert and Ernie. Very good. Laurel and Hardy. How about Bogey and McCall? Okay. How about Bonnie and? Yeah. And Butch Cassidy and? Sundance Kid. Okay, how about a couple more? How about this? Laverne and? Shirley. Very good. Starsky and? And two more for the younger crowd. How about SpongeBob and? Patrick, very good. And Mario and? Luigi, very good. Now, some of those actually show our age, doesn't it? You know, those are our friends, friends that we call. We all want friends in our life. We all need friends. God has hardwired each of us in that way that we need friends, young, old, male, female, introvert or extrovert for relationships. He has created us to want friends, to laugh with us and cry with us, friends who know our faults and who love us anyway, even though they know our faults. Friends who accept us and understand us and challenge us and stick by us through thick and thin. Friends who will make us better, friends we make better because they're our friends. Every one of us needs those types of relationships. Some of us are more aware of the need than others. Some of us are less social than others, but we all need a few good friends. Do you remember when Jesus walked this earth and he began his ministry and he surrounded himself with many friends and many associates? And he had people that followed him and he had people that he could turn to, like when he needed to borrow a donkey. And he needed it, and the person loaned it to him. He needed an upper room, and there was somewhere there that let him lend that room to him. He had close friends, and he had a circle of friends. Remember, he had 12 apostles, 12 disciples. And even in that group, he had some more intimate, Peter, James, and John, that small group. Jesus shared things with them that he didn't share with his wider circle of friends. I believe that we can take a cue from Jesus. And I think that there's some kinds of friendships that every single one of us wants and needs. Friendships that can make a huge difference in our lives. Friendships that don't happen by accident, but they are prayerfully sought and cultivated. And I believe that we can look at a man in the Bible, King David, and look at some examples of some of his friends, his best friends of King David and the shepherd king of Israel. So I want to begin this morning by talking about three different types of friends. And the first one is that I want to encourage you this morning that we need to find a friend like Jonathan. You may remember the story of David and Jonathan in the Bible. Jonathan was the son of King Saul, the first king of Israel, and he was next in line for the throne. But David was this young hero who defeated Goliath and became a part of King Saul's court. And in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, it says this. It describes their friendship, and it describes it like this. Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. These two men were close friends. They sacrificed for each other. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 4, we read that Jonathan gave David some of his clothing and his military gear. This gift symbolized Jonathan's recognition that David would one day be king of Israel. Rather than feeling jealous, Jonathan sacrificed his own right to the throne in order to help his friend David. See, they were loyal to each other. When King Saul told his followers to kill David, Jonathan rebuked his father, the king, something that just wasn't done in those days. He rebuked his own father. But Jonathan took the risk. He recalled David's faithfulness to the king in killing Goliath, and he stood up to his friend and stood up to his father for his friend David. And they were affectionate towards each other. You remember when Jonathan and David worked out a system of signals whereby Jonathan told David to flee because it was unsafe for him there, and he gave him the signal, and he would run, he would leave the capital because it was no longer safe for them. They met one last time and they wept openly as they said goodbye to each other because they deeply loved each other. See, you and I need friendships like Jonathan in our lives. A friend who is willing to sacrifice. A friend who will be loyal. A friend who will be not afraid to show affection to us. Someone who, like David did for Jonathan, will give a moving eulogy when he dies. Everyone needs a Jonathan. Young and old, male or female, we all need a Jonathan in our lives. We all need the kind of friend referred to in the Bible in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, where it says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." So who is the Jonathan in your life? See, can you name someone off the top of your head? For some of you, you may immediately think of your husband or your wife, and that might be the name that springs to your head right away. And that's a wonderful thing. And I hope that each of us, our husband or our wives, is a friend, because there's nothing better than that. But your husband or wife is not your Jonathan. I'm talking about a close friend other than your husband or wife. So who is a close friend for you, or who is going to be that person for you? I have a friend that I consider my Jonathan. You know, we don't live together, but when we are together, it's just like we have never been apart. And as a person I can turn to, and he loves me unconditionally, and I love him unconditionally. And if they call on the phone, I would drop everything and go do whatever I can do for that person. He is my Jonathan. And I covet that relationship. I love that relationship, and I look forward to the times we get to spend time together. We all need that type of relationship in our lives. See, you may not have that relationship right now, but I'm going to urge you to begin praying and looking and planning for that relationship. See, you don't have to wait for it to come to you. Take a look around. Have faith to believe that God has placed that person somewhere nearby who has the potential to be your Jonathan. Ask God to show you who that might be, and then invite that person to join you, maybe for coffee. Does he or she golf? Tell that person what you like and start developing this relationship. Don't become a stalker. You know, don't sneak around, watch them from afar. But start being intentional. Look for those people and start developing this relationship that can become a close friendship. Maybe you already know who the Jonathan is in your life, but lately you hadn't had time to spend with that special friend. In Jesus' name, I say to you, make time for that person. Put that friend into your schedule. Prioritize that relationship. It's not a luxury. It is not even an optional, really. It is an investment in your life. It is an investment in your future and in your continued effectiveness as a servant of God. Find a Jonathan. The second relationship, I think, David had that I believe will be key for you, and that is for all of us, is that we need to find a Nathan. Unfortunately, over time, King David lost his spiritual way and his moral way. He lusted and he compromised. He committed adultery and he committed murder. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he murdered her husband, Uriah, to try to cover everything up. You'll find that story in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 12, the Bible describes how Nathan the prophet went to David. And he came to David, and he says, "David, I want to tell you a little story." And he begins to tell him this little parable about this rich man who was going to have a big feast. And when the feast came along, he didn't want to butcher one of his own sheep, that he went and stole the poor man's, who is his neighbor's, went and took his little lamb, and he butchered it for his guest. David became outraged. And he said, that man should die. He should be punished for that. Remember what Nathan said to him? David, you are that man. Do you ever stop and ask, how did Nathan get into the palace? Do you wonder how he gained access to the court of David? How did he get in the presence of the king? How did he gain access into the king's very presence? The answer is, he already had access. You see, in fact, 2 Samuel chapter 7 tells how David bounced ideas off Nathan, got his counsel and about building the temple of God, and made himself accountable to the prophet. So by the time this whole sword affair with Bathsheba began, David had a friend in his life who had the authority to speak truth, to speak bluntly, and to advise and correct him. See, I need that. I need a Nathan in my life, and I believe you do too. And I believe we all need those type of people in our lives. A Nathan is an accountability partner. As Nathan was to David, as Jethro was to Moses, as Barnabas was to Paul, a Nathan is someone who loves you but is not impressed by you, not fooled by you. Someone you can trust. Someone who will love you no matter what. Someone with whom you can be, you can show yourself and show all parts of you. Someone whom you can be accountable with. Author Howard Hendricks writes this: have you got anybody in your life who's willing to keep you honest? Anybody who's willing to say to you, hey man, you're neglecting your wife. Don't give me any guff. I know it. Everybody else knows it, and it's about time you knew it. See, in my own life, I have a Nathan in my life, and I cultivate that relationship. This person can call and talk to me about what is going on in my life. We spend time together. We spend time so that we can know each other, and we hold each other accountable. And when I have great decisions to make, and if there's something that's going on in my life and I need some counsel, I call this person. We all need those people in our own lives. Some people even give their accountability partner a list of questions. And when you get together, you ask those questions to each other. I remember my accountability partner and I, we would sit and we'd meet, and we came up with a list of questions. And they weren't easy questions. There are things that we needed to ask each other. It's about if we were giving the time to our wives that we need to give. Are we giving time to the Word of God that we needed to give? You know, those things. If we have problems in our life, we would ask each other about those specific problems that were going on in our lives. And we wasn't afraid to ask, even if it made each other uncomfortable. We did those things. And of course, there are men and women that might also hold their Nathans accountable. It's like I was just talking about. We did, me and my accountability partner did to each other. We need to do those things. And we need to start a relationship in our life. And those relationships don't happen by accident. I remember before I started meeting with my accountability partner, we were meeting in small groups. And every week we'd talk about, we need to get these accountability partners. And every week we were challenged to get an accountability partner. And you know what happened each week? All the other things of life just kind of pushed it to the side. And until we finally decided that this is what we're going to do, we're going to meet each and every week. We're going to meet at this specific time every week and talk to each other and ask each other these questions. That's when it finally came together. We need accountability. Just as David needs accountability from Nathan, we need accountability as well in our lives. And you may not have that relationship right now, but I urge you to start praying for it and planning for it. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to develop an honesty and transparency you'll need. It's going to take time to develop those relationships. So I urge you today to start working on those and start looking for that Nathan in your life. So find a Jonathan, find a Nathan, and then finally, one more relationship David had that I believe will be key for us, and that is that we need to invest in a Solomon. See, David, of course, knew that he would not always be king. There would be one day, as there comes for all of us, when everything he knew, everything that he had accomplished, everything he had would be passed on to someone else. And there was no shortage of people in David's life who wanted to be that person in his kingdom. His son Absalom led a rebellion against him and tried to take the kingdom from him. Later, his son Adonijah set up a shadow kingdom while David was still alive. You know, he said, "I'm going to be the next king," and started just acting like he was the next king. But David didn't choose to hand over his kingdom to him either. He didn't choose either of them to mold and mentor. He chose Solomon. And on his deathbed, Solomon said David said to Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 2, 3, and 4, he says, "I am about to go the way of all the earth." He says, "So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires." He says, "Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do. Whatever you do, wherever you go, that the Lord may keep his promise to you. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel." See, he went on to advise Solomon on the specific taking over the crown, whom to trust, whom not to trust, and so on. He passed on more than a crown of his kingdom. He passed on wisdom. He passed on skills. He passed on specific instructions. He passed on a legacy. I want to suggest that kind of relationship for every follower of Jesus Christ here today. We need a Solomon, someone to whom we can pass on wisdom, skills, and instructions. See, this is usually a younger man or woman with whom you can mentor and influence, someone to whom you can pass on a legacy. Now, not that you are perfect, and we all know that we're not perfect, and that's okay. Neither are the people sitting around you. None of us are perfect individuals. Not some kind of spiritual giant. You don't have to be some type of spiritual giant to mentor someone. And there's still someone you can influence you can pass on your influence to someone else. You can teach someone as you have been taught. Encourage someone you've been encouraged. Almost every minister I've had someone that I've spent time, I invested time in. I had a young man when I was in Indiana. He would call me at all hours of night. We would work through things. We'd pray together. We would spend time together. I don't know how many nights I would get a call about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. He says, "I need to talk to you. I'm really having a tough time. There's a sin going on in my life, and I really need to talk to you." And we'd get up, and we'd go, and we'd sit down, and we would talk. And we would study together, and we would pray about it. We need to spend time investing in other people's lives. No matter where you are spiritually, we need to be passing on the things that we know. So, who is your Solomon? Is there someone who comes to mind? Someone that you can show the ropes? A friend you can bring alongside of you? You may already have such a person. Or someone may be coming to mind right now. But what if they're not? What if you have no idea who your Solomon is? How do you find such a person? First, I would say pray that God will bring that person into your life. Or if they're already in your life, that he will point them out to you. Second, take the initiative. put up your antenna. Look around for a while and then ask someone if they're willing to be that person in your life. Third, keep at it. No matter what, keep at it. To quote Howard Hendricks one more time, he says, don't be surprised if it takes more than one or two experiences before you find that person, because there has to be a personal romance. There's a chemistry that grows in a good mentoring relationship. And I truly believe if we are to emulate David, the man after God's own heart, and build relationships as he did with a Jonathan, with a Nathan, with a Solomon, I believe that we will be blessed. And our lives and the lives of others be enriched in immeasurable ways. I want to do an illustration, but I'm going to need some help with this illustration. Does any of the kids want to come up and help me with this? It's nothing grander. You're not going to have to speak. You're not going to do it. But all I'm going to ask you is to move. If you'll come and stand right here in the center. Not everybody run at one time. I'm going to have one. I got two. Anybody else want to help? Turn around and face me. I'm going to ask y'all some questions. And all you have to do is move left or right. That's all you have to do. You want to come? Caitlin? Come on. Okay, stand right here in the center, both of y'all. I want everybody to watch. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you two things. If you prefer one or the other, if you prefer the first thing, I want you to move over here. Y'all can get closer together. And then if you want the second thing, you go over here. Okay? You ready? Okay. First one this way. Second one this way. Are y'all ready? Okay. Here's the first one. Would you rather live on the beach or live in the mountains? Beach, mountains. Okay, beach. Okay, come back in the middle. Here's the second one. Do you prefer dogs or cats? Cats. Okay. Okay, back. How about this one? Would you choose to spend your day in the city, or would you rather be in the country? Okay. Come back in the middle. Would you rather make yourself smarter or better looking? Smarter. See, yeah. Okay. How about, would you rather, what? Okay, come back in the middle. Here's the last one. Would you rather be 5 minutes late or 5 minutes early? Okay, early. Okay. Thank y'all. Y'all have a seat. Give them a round of applause. Thank y'all. Look, those are choices we have to make. And this choice, all it was going to decide on which side of the room you were standing. But we all have choices in our lives that we make each and every day that matter. You know, there's choices that we make, how we're going to live our lives, and decisions that we live with even after the moment is over because of that decision. There's one friend that we need to be introduced to, that we need to have a relationship with, each and every one of us do, and that is Jesus Christ. God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son, and we need to have a relationship with him. We need the relationship and this friendship of God through Jesus Christ. See, he is the ultimate friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's no better friend, and no one who has come farther or done more as a friend than our friend Jesus. His sacrifice on the cross makes it possible for us to have a relationship with him and for us to be delivered from sin. And we do not have to spend eternity, and we don't have to be afraid of death, and we don't have to spend eternity in hell. He's a friend. He's loyal, literally. Sent him to us. God sent him to us because he loved us, and he wants us to have a relationship with him. And it is infinite, and it's eternal, and it's one that's not going to end just because of this life we live and the death, when we face death, and when we leave this world. See, God loved us, and he wanted us to have a relationship with him. And he found a way to remedy our problem of sin. Sin would separate us from God. That is the death that we need to be afraid of, the separation from God. And so he sent Jesus to remedy our problem of sin, the cavern that separated us from God. And maybe there's some here this morning that has not started that relationship with Jesus. He came and he gave his life up for us. So that he went and he came and he died upon a cross. And our sins nailed him to that cross. And he came and died for us so that we might have life. And if you want to accept the friendship with him, with Jesus, the Bible is very clear. We just need to believe in him, have faith in him. And because of that faith, we are going to repent of our sins, that we don't want to do those things any longer. We want to change. We want to do what God wants us to do. We want to follow him. We want to live a life for him. And we want to repent of our sins. We don't want to do those things anymore. It's going to be a struggle sometimes, but we are going to strive not to do those things anymore. And the Bible says you need to confess him. Say, I want to make him my Lord. And that is, I'm going to make him king. I'm ready to dethrone myself, and I'm ready to put Jesus on the throne of my life. And he says, if you do that, you want to make him your king, and you accept him as our Savior. He said, I came and died for you so that you might have life. And he says, if you do those things, and then you submit to baptism, you go down the watery grave of baptism, because the Scripture very clearly says, that's where your sins are washed away, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you need to do that today, you need to accept that friendship that Jesus offers to each of us. I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're going to sing a song of decision. But maybe there's others here this morning that you've made that decision, but life has gotten off track. You've allowed sins to come in your life. You've allowed other things to push God to the side, that God is not on the throne that you once placed him at. But now other things are on the throne of your life. Maybe it's yourself. Maybe it's some activity or something that you really like. Something else. Idolatry is basically anything we place ahead of God in that relationship. And maybe some here this morning have allowed other things to get in those places. We're going to give you a time here this morning to repent of those sins. Maybe to make some changes to your life. Maybe it's a decision you need to make by coming to the front and have us all to pray for you, help hold you accountable. Maybe it's something you can do from right where you're sitting. But this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to make those changes. Maybe there's some here that need to make this their church home. Maybe there's just some things in your life you need prayer for. Whatever it is, we're going to sing a song of decision. And if you have a decision on your heart to make here this morning, make it as we stand and sing. Please stand with me.